the new technology that we're bringing in and just see what they can invent. A big part of the Smart City Initiative is something we call the Living Lab. And everyone keeps asking, well, what does that do exactly? What exactly is the Living Lab? And the whole point is, we don't know yet. I mean, we have some good ideas about how we're going to want it to be used, but the most exciting part is that we don't know what the Living Lab will produce, because that's why we want the entrepreneurs and the innovators to come and use it and play and see what they can create, because that'll be the best for everyone. Now, in terms of what we do think Smart City can do for our residents, because for us as a city to embark upon this, it's about more than just the economic development end or just the excitement of being known as a tech city. It's really about, when we talk about smart city, it's about using our resources smartly. It's about being efficient. As you know, in any city, it's always a struggle to make sure you're providing services and providing value for the taxpayers. And our residents deserve good services, and they deserve to know that we are using their money efficiently. So one of the things that some of the things that we think can happen with Smart City is, imagine these sensors like that you just mentioned there in the window. That can be used for parking enforcement. But what about if we had sensors that could detect when a trash dumpster is full or when it's empty? And it could tell the trash truck whether it needs to pull into that lot to get that dumpster because it's full, or, you know what, go on by because it's empty. Or come 2 days ahead of time because for whatever reason it's already full. That is going to help us use our resources better. And you can apply things like that to parking. We already have the pilot program going with the LED streetlights in the River Market. Have you guys told them about that yet? So that's really cool, because as part of the Smart City Initiative, one of the things that we've done is on a street down in the River Market along the streetcar line, we have redone some of the streetlights to LED.
What is the streetcar?
What is the streetcar?
Yeah.
The light.
Tranvía.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right up front here.
Just trying to find the
name in the Spanish. Okay, so what we want is for those, we're testing those lights with the sensors. And it can do things like, we're hoping, will it be able to sense that, okay, it's a full moon, there are no clouds, it's very bright outside at night, so does the light need to be on all the way? Does it need to be burning all of that extra energy? Or can you bring it down so that you're saving money and saving energy by not having the light so bright on a night when you don't need it? Conversely, if it's a very dark night, there's no moon, a lot of clouds, do you need to bring the level of the light up? It's also a more pleasing color than the lights we have right now, so it creates a better environment for people. It makes people want to be outside and around downtown because you're not having harsh light of street lights. You see a lot of cities that sometimes build two level of lights. They build the high level of lights to illuminate the road for the trucks, but then they try to create a more pedestrian experience, and then they have another set of lights more like people height. And that's about creating a better environment so that people want to live in that area and be active in that area. And this is going to help with, you know, looking at those kinds of issues and seeing how we can do that better to make a better environment.
This pilot is already working?
The pilot program went in just a few weeks ago, I think. Maybe a month?
It's not that long ago.
So part of it is about putting it in operation. It's just for a few blocks downtown in the River Market area. And part of it, what we're doing with Smart City is those sensors are also gathering a lot of data. So we can start analyzing that data and figuring out what is the best way to use it. And that's something that will apply across the entire Smart City Initiative, because bringing in all this data from all these sensors in many different ways accumulates new data that you can then figure out, well, what does this really mean and what can we do with it? Yeah, go ahead.
When you refer about data, it's like weather conditions, temperature, and stuff like that?
Oh, it's a lot of different things. It depends on where the sensors are and what they're looking at. It can tell us about traffic patterns, people patterns. I don't know, you're a data geek. What else do you think?
My name's David Rao. I'm a project manager. I unfortunately am not authorized to speak on behalf of Cisco, but I do have, if anyone has questions of Cisco and the Smart and Connected Cities Initiative, I have contact information for our...
And I've got that here for you as well.
Our press people are based in San Francisco, so... I'm happy to put you in touch.
I mean, there are going to be all kinds of different data, and that's part of the excitement is, again, we don't know all the different kinds of data that we're going to be collecting. There's going to be a lot of different things depending on... Part of the thing with the smart city, we just signed the contract with Cisco, and they will then be pursuing what you might call subcontracts with other vendors like Think Big. Those need to still be established, which will then give us the framework for what it will actually do in the first round.
You just mentioned now, you will collect like people data, specifically what that means. You could explain a little more.
Some of it is, you know, what are people looking for? Like, you know how when you're on your smartphone and you're searching for a restaurant, okay? So some of that data is just out there because you opt into, you know, the restaurant network so that they can feed you all the lists of restaurants, right? So with the kiosks that will be built along the streetcar line, if you are using that, then we can collect some of that data, and it helps us create a better environment because can we make it seamless for you to get on the street line 3 or 4 miles south of here, and then as you're coming into downtown, you're looking for a restaurant, and then you figure out which stop to get out because there's a restaurant that has availability tonight, and you can hop off, and you know it's close to the theater where you're going to see a show.
And you're not worried about that. People may be concerned about their privacy because there is a lot of metadata you're going to be collecting
right.
from people.
There are privacy concerns, and we are very aware of that. This will all be stuff that you opt into. There'll be no collection of data that you have not authorized. It's all data that's already out there. We're not going to create a new level of data collection. It's all stuff that is already out there in the things that you are already doing on the internet and your smartphone already.
Data will be made public to anyone
analyzing? Well, the goal is that we bring in entrepreneurs and innovators who can then sift through the data and look at it and figure out, can we create something new out of this? Is there a new app that we can create? Is there a new application of the data, or, you know, like I said, with the basic services even, you know, the traffic flow, the garbage pickup, the streetlights, all of that kind of stuff. You know, we want to see what people can do with it.
Do you have a partner in Africa? Do you have
a partner in Africa? Well, right now, the partners are Cisco and Sprint. And Sprint is going to build the Wi-Fi system that will be in several different areas downtown, including along the streetcar line. And as I said earlier, there will be some partners that are brought in via the Cisco contract. So Cisco will be hiring, partnering with those vendors, such as, I mean, you're probably going to be one of those, is our understanding, right? You guys are mentioned in the original contract.
I would assume so. We've been working on this for 20 months. I would hope so.
You're hoping to get the damn contract, right?
Does Kansas City have a sister city program? A lot of cities have like a sister city program.
We do. We have several, quite a few sister cities.
Are you sharing this sort of smart city technology with them?
Well, you know, we are inviting people to come here and check us out. So that's a way of sharing. I don't know that... there's anything established that is official about, you know, here's what we're doing, but again, it is a worldwide invitation to come here and check out what we're doing.
How much is it going to cost, this project, and finally, why did you decide to choose a city like Kansas? Because in the morning, with the people that we met, they told us that they were analyzing 1,100 cities, and finally, Kansas was.
Well, you're right. Kansas City was selected.
Why?
By Cisco, because we're awesome. I mean, I think it's a recognition of the talent that exists in Kansas City. I think it is a recognition of the fact that this city is growing by leaps and bounds in terms of our technology infrastructure, as well as the creative ecosystem. I mean, we have done very specific things to try to encourage innovation and technology in Kansas City. I mean, Google picked us first to come here. Cisco picked us to come here for their first big venture into North America with this program. So, I mean, that is a signal that it's not us saying, hey, we're great, come to Kansas City. I mean, it is major corporations realizing that when they have new projects, this is a great place to come and roll it out. And part of the ecosystem that we've built, it includes having Think Big